Michtav Eliyahu, Volume 1, page 5, in the Hebrew. The essay is called Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah. The reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. Shanini, we have learned Ba'avos Perek Dalad in Perek Avos, chapter 4 in Perek Avos, Mitzvah Gereris Mitzvah. A mitzvah draws after it a mitzvah. Shescha mitzvah mitzvah. 4. The reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. Again, a mitzvah draws after it a mitzvah, for the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. Mashma de be'emes ein be'olam hazeh shum schar acher le mitzvah. Acher. Let me read that again. Mashma de be'emes ein be'olam hazeh shum schar acher le mitzvah. This infers that in truth in this world there is no other reward for a mitzvah besides a mitzvah. Why? The schar mitzvah b'hai alma leka, for the reward of a mitzvah in this world is not. There is no reward for a mitzvah in this world. We spoke in the last class that the reward for the mitzvahs are too great for this entire world. Even the smallest mitzvah carries a reward far, far, far larger, millions of times larger than the entire world. It just cannot enter, it cannot penetrate this world. So the reward of a mitzvah is not in this world. Verak, zeu schar mitzvah bo'ilam hazeh. But the reward for a mitzvah which we do have in this world, the mitzvah gereris mitzvah, that one mitzvah draws after it another mitzvah. That reward we do have. The power of a mitzvah to draw in its wake another mitzvah that we have. Vegam be'emes, hen zeu schar amiti. And in truth, this is the true reward. This is a real reward. This is a superior reward. It's a true reward. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekadshenu b'mitzvosof, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctifies us with his mitzvahs, umekaveinu la'avodosoi, and he draws us closer to his service. So this is the ultimate merit, that through doing a mitzvah, Hashem sanctifies us and draws us closer to himself, which is ultimately what we all want. We want to come as close to Hashem as possible. He is the source of all love. He is the source of all goodness. He is the source of all beauty. He is the source of all happiness. And the closer we are to the source, so the more we enjoy all of these wonderful qualities. It all comes from him, and if we can get closer to him, that's the better for us. There is really no other reward in this world that's a true reward. The true reward is the ability to come closer to Hashem, and we come closer to Hashem with mitzvahs. Following that, all goodness and all pleasures of this physical world, the joys of this physical world, the delights, the happiness of this physical world is really a tos, it's an error, and it's false, it's an illusionary, it's a false pleasure, because it seems to be pleasurable, but it's really just superficial, and it just dissipates very, very quickly. It's not a true asset. And you buy an asset, you expect it's going to last with you for years, for decades. It's going to stay in the family. But the pleasures of this world are all very superficial. They're all illusionary. And it's only spirituality which Hashem will give to us in this world. The spirituality that we are able to acquire for ourselves in this world. This is the great reward, that there is no reward. So therefore we now understand that the reward of a mitzvah is the ultimate type of reward that Hashem can give us for a mitzvah in this world is another mitzvah. Amnam, however, lefize, according to what we've just said, kashe masha'anu oimrim b'krishma, we have a difficulty with what we say every day in Krishma. We say Krishma morning and evening, and there's something very puzzling there. that seemingly contradicts what we've just said before. It says in the Krishna, "V'hoyo im shamoya tishmu v'chulei." Right? If you will listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem, and it says there to love Hashem and to serve Him with all your heart, with all your resources, all your strength. And then it goes on to say, "V'nasati matar atzachem." I will give you the rain of this earth. The rain, without rain, there would be no life in this world. All the wealth in this world could not substitute what Hashem gives us by sending the rain. If the lakes would dry out and the rains would cease, it would be the end of life. So Hashem says, if you listen to my mitzvahs, I will give rain to the land. Sadi matat chem bitur yireh malkush, the early rain and the late rain. I'll give grass to the fields. There'll be grass growing in the fields. You'll have fodder for the animals. You'll have food for yourselves. And we conclude over there. We say, and you will be eat and you will be sated. You will eat and you will be satisfied. Right? So according to that, there's reward for mitzvah in this world. If you'll serve Hashem, if you love Hashem, you will serve Him. I'll send you the rain. By the way, the term we use for material wealth is gashmius. Gashmius comes from the word geshem. Geshem is the abundance, all the profit, all the growth. Just the word profit also comes from the word pri, which is fruits. The fruits of this world, all the fruits of this world is all the product of the earth with the rain falling on the earth. So we see there is going to be reward in this world, because if you fulfill my mitzvahs, you will serve me if you love me. Hashem says, I will give you the rain, and you will eat, and you will be satisfied. And it's not just about small mitzvahs do we say that there is a reward in this world. Even the very highest levels are speaking about the reward of the rain in this world. The highest of levels, to love Hashem. To love Hashem is the very highest type of service we can reach. The ultimate service of Hashem is the love of Hashem. Now, the love of Hashem is really a general mitzvah, because whatever we give to Hashem is an act of love. By us, love is not an emotion. Us, love is an action. We show love with actions by giving. Giving is an act of love. You give to another person, that's an act of love towards that person. You give to Hashem, it's an act of love to Hashem. And that's the mitzvah. Haftas Hashem Elokecho. You shall love Hashem your God. As you give your all to Hashem. You serve Him, and you give to Him as you serve Him. You don't do the service for yourself. You do the service as a gift to Him, which is an act of love. So that is the ultimate. And a mitzvah which we do for the sake of Hashem is an act of love. If you're just doing it for yourself, for your own personal reward, or to impress your neighbors, or to impress someone else, or because someone's paying you to do a mitzvah, so that's a very low-level mitzvah. But the ultimate mitzvahs are the mitzvahs you do purely for Hashem, and those are called acts of love. So love is the highest of levels. And it says about that, when you love Hashem, then I'll give you the rain. So we're talking about rain as a reward for the highest of mitzvahs, not just for the little mitzvahs, the trinkets. We're talking about the gold and the silver, the precious gems. To serve Him with all of your hearts and all of yourselves. This is the highest of all the highest of the highest of highest high levels. The very highest level is to serve Hashem with all of our heart. And with all of ourself, all of our soul, all of our strength. And even though this is the highest mitzvah, so as a reward for the mitzvah, I'm going to give you the rain. So what do we do with this? We have a problem here. Amnam fa pirish harambam zal, eshoish inyan ze beperch tes, vihilchas chub. However, the Rambam, the Maimonides, in his great work, Yad Chazoka, has explained the root of this idea in chapter 9 of the Laws of Tshuva. Hilchos Tshuva, one of the very famous works of the Rambam, very, very useful work to learn. So he explains the idea here. V'zeh l'shoina, and this is what he says, we're quoting from the Rambam directly. V'avticheinu b'teira, the Torah has promised us, Shim nase oiso, if we will follow it, if we'll do it, we'll do Torah b'simcha, with joy, because that's a requirement. Right? We know from the book of Dvorim that all the curses come on the Jewish people because they don't fulfill mitzvahs with joy. Not enough to fulfill mitzvahs. We have to have a sense of privilege. It's a merit to fulfill mitzvahs. We shouldn't be doing mitzvahs reluctantly. We shouldn't be doing them, oh well, what else can we do? We shouldn't do them with complaints, with moaning. And there was a certain rabbi used to chastise his students. Used to say, you know, when your mother asks you a favor, why do you kick her in the stomach? So the students would say, what do you mean we kick? I kicked my mother in her stomach. Wow, who would think of such a thing? He says, yeah, your mother asked you to take out the garbage, and you said, oh, well, I suppose, you know, well, okay. So that's a kick in the stomach. What do you mean? She asks you a favor, and you do it with such reluctance. That's a slap in the cheek. That's a kick in her stomach. That's not the way to, that's not really honoring your parent. Oh, well, okay, well, you know, if you can't do it, so then I suppose I'll have to. That type of response is not ideal. So therefore, he says as follows, again, reading the Rambam says, the Torah has promised us that if we'll fulfill it, b'simcha, with joy, sense of privilege, we're happy to be doing mitzvahs, u'b'toivas nefesh, with a good will, optimism, optimistic will, with a smile on our faces, v'noga b'chochmosa tomid, and we'll conduct our lives with its wisdom always, we'll let the wisdom of the Torah guide us in our lives, because the Torah is full of wisdom. It is the wise way of living, is the Torah way, and we'll allow its wisdom to guide us. Says the Rambam, "Sheyosim emenu kol hadvorim hamoinim oisonim lasuisa." Then, this is what the Torah has promised. Then, it Hashem will remove from us all of those things which prevent us from fulfilling the Torah. Anything that might stop you from fulfilling the Torah, all of those hurdles, all of those obstacles, Hashem will remove. If we will commit ourselves to fulfilling the Torah and living our life according to the Torah, all of the obstacles which prevent us from doing mitzvahs will be removed. And a person says, I can't give tzedakah, I don't have money, you'll have money. I can't do a mitzvah, I don't have the strength, I'll give you the strength. I don't have the health, I'll give you the health. I don't have the time, I'll give you the time. All of those obstacles which prevent a person from fulfilling the Torah, Hashem will remove kagon choli, for instance sickness, Hashem will take away your sickness. Milchama, war, war times are very difficult times, I'll take away the war, there won't be a war. Rav, famine, there won't be famine. You want to do mitzvahs, there'll be no famine. There'll be no obstacles, or kuyoitziben, etc. Yashpia lanu kolatoivus hamachzikus es yadeinu, lasis atira. And he will pour down on us all of those benefits, all of those goodnesses which strengthen our hands to fulfill the Torah. Right? If a person will have what to eat, he'll have where to sleep, he'll have clothes to wear, and all of that strengthens him that he can now he now has free time and he now has energy and strength and the abilities to fulfill the Torah. Could go in Soiva, for instance, he'll give you satiety, he'll give you all your needs, your physical needs will be met, Shalom, he'll give you peace. There'll be peace in the land. Ribui kesev v'zov, enough silver and gold. We'll have the resources. So that we shouldn't be spending all of our days pursuing those items which the body needs. Because a person's running around for it, trying to earn a panosa. So therefore he's just, you know, he's putting bread on the table. He's working 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day, 10 hours a day to put bread on the table. So then he's only working towards his physical needs. He's working towards supplying his physical needs. Right? But once we commit ourselves to a life of mitzvahs, Hashem will take that away. Hashem says, I'll provide the physical needs. I'll provide the parnosa. So that we should be free to learn his wisdom. To fulfill his mitzvah, so that we'll merit the life of the world to come, which is the ultimate reward, is the world to come. This is the Rambam. So this is what the Rambam says, that there's a promise in the Torah When a person commits himself to a Torah lifestyle, Hashem will give him the means to live that lifestyle. And all of whatever he needs in order to fulfill mitzvahs, Hashem will provide. And any obstacle which would stop him from fulfilling mitzvahs, Hashem will remove. He'll remove the obstacles and he'll provide the means. Roy lis'amek lahavin ad kama nifloim heima eila advorim hafle ufela. It's fitting for us to delve deeply, to contemplate, to think about, understand how wondrous are these words. Marvelous, brilliant, genius. Hafle ufela. It's absolutely a wonderful thing. This Rambam is unbelievable. It's wow. It's a real wow idea. Hafle ufela. Nitzenu lemeidim. We come out learning from this. All of the goodness of this world, which it's fitting for a person to reach, to acquire through the way of the Torah, all of the goodness of this world, the goodness of this world, there's a lot of goodness in this world, wonderful things in this world, wonderful places to visit, wonderful foods to eat, wonderful, all sorts of wonderful aspects, elements in this world, all of these pleasures of this world which a person can achieve, the purpose of these things is not for us to take pleasure, physical pleasure, in the pleasures of this world. Their goal is, the goal is all of all the physical goodness of this world is only for the sake of holiness. That the matters of this world should be of assistance to the person. They should be helping him, the Dvorim Shebekedusha, to reach matters of holiness. All of the goodness of this world, all of the pleasures, all that's delicious in this world, that's wonderful in this world, all of it can be used and should be used to help a person reach a spiritual, a high spiritual level. And not for any other purpose at all. This is what it means when the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. What do we mean by those words? The reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. Ki ein shum schar lemitzvah b'olam hazeh, ela rak hasiyu la'asos od mitzvos. Because there is no reward in the world in this world at all, as we said in the beginning. There is no reward in this world at all, except, besides, the assistance we need to fulfill mitzvahs. That we do need. That's the reward we have. The reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah, meaning the reward of a mitzvah is to be given all of the means, all of the resources you need, the health and the strength and the money, etc., to be able to do mitzvahs. The reward of a mitzvah is the ability to do more mitzvahs. So therefore, that's all of the resources of this world which help us to do it. Gam toiv olam hazeh asher yosig hatzadik ulatachlis hazeh. All of the goodness that a tzaddik receives in this world is for this goal. So now we've now resolved the contradiction. We started off by saying there's no reward of a mitzvah in this world. The reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah, but besides that there's no other reward. And then we ask the question, but surely we say in the Shema that if you love Hashem and you'll serve Hashem, He'll give you the rain will fall and you'll eat, you'll be satisfied. So doesn't that sound like there is reward in this world? The answer is that reward is the ability to do more mitzvahs, because that's the purpose of all the physical wealth of this world is all in order to help us to do mitzvahs. Hashem will give us all of that help if we commit ourselves to mitzvahs. Hashem will give us all of that help in order that we should do more mitzvahs, and that's what we mean. The reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah that you'll be given the wealth of this world and the wealth and all you need to do mitzvahs. But it's not a reward in and of itself. It's just an assistance towards mitzvah, because a reward leads to another, a mitzvah leads to another mitzvah. V'kevin shekein. Now, since this is so, since this is the truth, it comes out that all matters of this world have holiness. Right? All matters of this world have holiness. Right? Everything. The most, a peanut. Right? A peanut has holiness in it. A holy peanut, yeah? A banana, right? Whatever it is, the smallest items of this world, a screw which helps you to keep your cupboard together, right? That's holiness. It has holiness. All of the medicines in this world, yesh v'hem kedusha, they have holiness. Shemuchanim heima, because they're all ready. Leman harbis kedusha, in order to increase the holiness of this world. They have kelim lekedusha. They are utensils. They are instruments to reach kedusha. They have that potential. They don't. People can misuse them. They can use them for other things, but they have the potential to help us, and they're instrumental in us reaching kedusha, holiness. Gemor beis hamikdash, kol hakelim. Just like in the temple itself, all of the different vessels they had there. There were the different pans, different pots, right, with gold and silver pots and pans and different utensils they had there, the tongs. Kumov beis hamikdash, just like in the temple, kol hakelim, v'kol hashayach sheyotze, kol hashayach, all that was applicable, sheyotze hatachlis hamakudash al yodo, anything that to which was applicable to use for the service of Hashem, to sanctify the sacrifice, to bring the sacrifices, who kodesh, they were all those utensils were all holy. All of the utensils in the beis hamikdash were all holy, right? The most, the simplest pots, the simplest pans, they were all holy. And therefore, accordingly, any element of this world, any matter of this world, also has this as its root. It has the potential to help a person come closer to Hashem, and therefore it has that holiness intrinsic in it, the smallest item. For all of the matters of this world are ready. They're ready, they're designated to be used for holiness. And now how wondrous it is when our sages have taught that the table of a Torah scholar is like an altar. The table, the dining room table of a scholar is like the altar itself. And the food he eats, he's eating. His act of eating is like a sacrifice being burnt on the altar. And that is because the whole idea of the meal that he's having is in truth something very holy, and something very elevated. He's using all of that, he's using all of the goodness of this world to serve Hashem. He's going to eat a meal, and afterwards he's going to go out and perform mitzvahs. He's going to go out and learn Torah. So all of that energy that he's absorbing into himself during the meal is all going to be used for the service of Hashem. To strengthen soldiers of the Torah, soldiers, those who are all of the part of, we the army of Hashem, and we're all soldiers of Hashem's army, to strengthen the soldiers. The soldiers have a good meal and they go out and fight a good war. So to strengthen soldiers and to increase the soldiers for the Torah. Ashrei mi shezeicher lekayim mitzvos eila bekedusha v'tara. Right. Fortunate is the person who fulfills mitzvahs with holiness and purity. Just by the way, sometimes, you know, sometimes a woman can have a complaint. She slaves over the stove for 3-4 hours, and her husband comes home, and in 10 minutes he gobbles down the whole meal, and he says thank you very much, and he goes off to have a nap. Very nice. She worked 3 hours, and he finishes in 10 minutes, but it's not 10 minutes because if he now takes that energy, which is right, which is what she has been preparing, and he then uses it for the service of Hashem. So he does wonderful things with that energy. It's not just the next 5-6 hours in which he's going to be operating, it's what he does for eternity. It could be that her investment is actually a very, very small investment. She's invested a few short hours, and with that she's acquired eternity with her service, because he takes that energy of the food that she prepared and uses it to build upper worlds. So it's actually not true to say, you know, you gobbled it down in 10 minutes. That's the secular way to look at it, because in the secular world the only reason you prepare a meal is to eat it. And once you've eaten it, it's over. Right? Once you swallow the chocolate, it's gone. There is no chocolate. Right? You swallowed it in 20 seconds and now it's gone. So now you need another chocolate because there are no more pleasures left in the world. That's why you have to eat chocolate all day, because there's no purpose to the world other than enjoying the world. So therefore, by them, it's an injustice. She worked 3 hours and he gobbled down the meal in 10 minutes. A chutzpah. He should have at least taken 20 minutes to eat it. Okay, she nisamek oid bedova. If we'll think more deeply into this matter, nire boru dova noiru v'niflo. We'll see something very clear, which is awesome and very, very wondrous. And kamosh shekli beis hamigdash im yishtamish v'em choil. Concerning the utensils of the temple, if a person would use it for mundane activities, If you would take one of the pans of the Beis HaMikdash and make yourself some fried eggs in the pan from the Beis HaMikdash, so you would be liable, there's a penalty, of Me'ila. Me'ila is misuse. If you misuse one of the holy vessels for your own personal purposes, so then it's called Me'ila, you have to have a proper atonement for it. You have to actually bring a sacrifice as an atonement for misusing, for abusing, misusing any of the vessels of the temple. So that's the halacha. The halacha is, if you've misused one of the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash, so then that carries a penalty. In truth, the same idea and the same root, the same fundamental basis, it applies to anyone who takes pleasure from this world without using it for sanctity. If you enjoy the pleasures of this world just for the sake of enjoying them, that's not what they were created for. They were created for the service of Hashem. So in a sense, you have misused this world. You have abused this world. You've just done it for your own self-indulgence. That's called misuse, and it's just called a sin. This person has gone and taken from this world. He's gone and taken, right, whatever he's taken. Right, he's taken an apple and he's stuck his teeth into this apple. And he's not doing it for the sake of a mitzvah, but just for his own personal pleasure. It's considered the misuse of that which is sanctified. Because this same apple could be used for the service of Hashem, and he's misused it, and therefore that's a liability. There's a penalty against him. And this is actually a very frightening idea. It's the actual eating has to be for the sake of serving Hashem. That's really the ideal. That's the ideal, to the degree that we're able. We're not instant angels, but we're working towards it, right? All of us are working towards being the best we can be. With this we can understand what the Gemara says in Maseches Ksuvos. It says as follows: V'shas p'tirosa shel Rebbe. At the time of the departure of Rebbe, when Rebbe was about to die, Rebbe is Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, right? Rabbi Yehuda, the prince who was the leader of the Jewish people in his generation. This was the time when the Romans were still ruling the world after the destruction of the temple. There was a huge, huge community in Eretz Israel, and he was fabulously wealthy. And he started one of the biggest yeshivas, and he was a Torah teacher, and he was the leader of the Jewish people. He was a very, very holy man. They used to call him Rabbeinu HaKodesh, the Holy Rebbe. Right? He was a very, very special person. And as we mentioned, he was fabulously wealthy. He was one of the wealthiest people in the world. So the Gemara tells us as follows: B'shas p'tirosa shel Rebbe, at the time when he was passing away, he was dying, Zokof yud etzbois of klape mala, he stretched his 10 fingers heavenwards. He stretched his 10 fingers upwards. Oh, and he said, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Golui v'yadua lefanecho, it's revealed and known before you, Sheyegati b'yud etzboisai b'teira, I toiled with my 10 fingers in the ways of Torah, and Torah lifestyle, Torah living, Torah study, V'loi nenesi afilo be'etz b'ktana, and I took no pleasure even with my smallest finger. I didn't even take the smallest amount of pleasure from this world. Yehi rotzon, and therefore may it be your will. Yehi rotzon v'fanecha sheyeh shalom b'menuchosi. May there be peace in my departure. May I depart in a peaceful way. May my departure be a peaceful departure. Which means that as he's leaving the world, there should be nothing that's holding him back. That his soul should be able to pass on into the next world without any type of, sometimes you get some wool that gets caught in the thorns, and you're pulling the pieces of wool out of the thorns, right? So the strands get stuck in the thorns, right? The thorn and the thorn, right? So you have also the same thing. We have sometimes people who are attached to this world, and they're very much involved in this world, and when they leave, so there's a ripping, the soul, so to speak, rips because it's still clinging on, it's still clutching on to the pleasures of this world. Pleasures of this world are so important to some people It's the whole world, they're clutching onto it. So their souls are clutching onto the pleasures of this world, and there's a ripping. There's a ripping. So that's not a peaceful transition. That's a very stressful, that's a very unpeaceful, very, very harsh type of transition. So he says, I took no pleasures from this world, even to the smallest degree. Right? Even though he was fabulously wealthy, I took no pleasures from this world, and therefore let my transition be one of peace. Let me pass on from this world in a peaceful way. The mashma mizeh. Now the inference of this Gemara, this is Rav Dessler speaking now. The inference is as follows: the ilu ne'ena mi'ulam hazeh, had he taken pleasure from this world, shenitn lo min hashamayim, this world which was given to him from the heavens, hayachos chison v'minuchos. So the implication is that his resting would be less of a peaceful rest had he taken from this world. He says, I took no pleasure from this world. So it sounds like that had he taken from the pleasure from this world, this would have interfered with his peaceful transition into the world to come. And seemingly we have to understand, why should this be so? Why should it be so that having pleasure from this world, he hasn't done any sins, just taking pleasure from this world should interfere with him passing on to the next world in a peaceful way? Did Hashem give all of this wealth to Rabbeinu HaKodesh? Right, as we mentioned, he was fabulously wealthy. Did Hashem give him all of this wealth so that he shouldn't use it? He gave him all this wealth and nothing should be used. It should all be locked up under key, lock and key. No, right? Was that the purpose of his wealth, that he shouldn't get any benefit from it, any pleasure from it? Right? It can't be such a thing. Hashem doesn't give us things that we can't use. If a craftsman looks in his toolbox and he sees certain tools, he doesn't know what to use with, how to use them. So that's his problem. You know, you were given those tools. You must find some way to use them. They're going to help you in your work some way. Any resources a person has in his life are all for him to use, for him to use in his service of this world. So therefore, what does it mean? He had no pleasure from this world. He had all of this wealth and he took no pleasure from it. So what was it all locked up? How can it be such a thing? Hashem gave it to him for no purpose at all. Achzeu peshadov. This is the explanation. Rabbeinu HaKodesh mipnei shegia lerum hamayla. And Rabbeinu HaKodesh, since he reached a very high spiritual level, hisig kol asher nivra ba'olam. So he acquired that all that was created, he understood. He came to the concept, he understood the concept that whatever was created in this world is the tzeich kiddush Hashem nivra, was all for the sake of sanctifying Hashem. K'maymar HaKosuv, like the Pasuk says, kol anikra b'shmi. This is a verse from Yeshayahu. It says, all that is called by my name, ulichvoid verosiv, yetzativ afasisi. It's for my honor, for the honor of heaven, that it was created and formed and made. But anything to which Hashem attaches his name was all created for the glory of Hashem, for the glory of the heavens, for the glory of eternity, of spirituality. And if so, all of the wealth Hashem gave him was for the reason of holiness. It's basically, if we can understand it, if we can just think about it and understand that every element of this world can all be used to serve Hashem, and therefore it all is for the sake of Hashem. It's all His, so to speak. It's all for Him. And this is what Rebbe grasped. V'loy ledov achetz, for the sake of serving Hashem. All the goodness of this world is for the sake of serving Hashem, and not for any other purpose at all. And if a person uses it in a different way, not for the service of Hashem, but just for self-indulgence, for himself, or for some other reason, for some idol worship, right? Yimol b'kod sheshamayim. That's called abuse. It's called misuse of that which is holy. Comes out that all he took from this world was for the ultimate of holiness, but tzeir shemayim, and for the needs of heaven. Everything. He had tremendous wealth. He used it all. It was all in use. Nothing was under lock and key. He used it all. All of the pleasures of this world and all of the grandeur of his palace and his servants and his household, etc. It was all being used. But for the sake of heaven. Right? For the honor of Hashem. that people should see how, right, that people should see a Torah lifestyle. What's a proper Torah lifestyle? So he used it all for the sake of heaven, levad, alone, bishum chefetz achir, without any other purpose. That's as far as when he said he took no pleasure from this world, means he took no pleasure from this world for the sake of pleasure. All of it he had, all the resources he had, he used for the sake of heaven. It was all being used to the service of Hashem. He had a huge yeshiva, he had thousands of students, and this wealth was used in a wise way. It was used to support Torah, to support Torah institutions, to support Torah families. So therefore, it was all being used for the sake of, and even the food that he ate, the meals that he ate, were all for the sake of Hashem. Because he's eating in order to have strength, in order to serve Hashem. So if he has a steak, and if he has some chips, and if he has a glass of beer, it's all for the sake of serving Hashem. And therefore, it's all considered that he took no personal benefit from this world. That's what he said. He said, let my passing on be a peaceful one, because I took nothing from this world. It's not, I used it all, I gave it all to you. I took nothing of it for myself. Amnam, Yadati, I know. Says Rav Dessa, I know. Exactly what you're thinking right now. Rav Dessa says, yes, I know exactly what you're thinking. I'm going to tell you right now what you're thinking. Yadati, ki kan sheila yishaleinu hashur. I know that now the asker will ask a certain question. Im kein, ze habeiche b'derech ha-Torah. This person who chooses the path of the Torah, v'hoylech b'derech tzadikim, and he goes in the ways of the righteous, lo yelo chelek b'chol chamudas tevel. Does he have no share in the delights of this world? Does that mean we have to abstain from all the pleasures of this world? Is that right? That's what it seems to be. You take no pleasure. It's all for the sake of Hashem. No pleasure for yourself. Is that what it means? That the tzaddikim don't have any pleasure from this world? Life seems to be so beautiful and so pleasurable. There's so many pleasures in life. There's so much wonderful things in life. Someone who chooses a Torah path is going to withdraw his hands from all of this. He's going to step away from all of this. That's not called living. If he's not going to take any of the pleasure of the pleasures of the world for himself, that's not called being alive. So therefore, how can it be such a thing? Hashem makes such a beautiful, pleasurable world, and we should take no pleasure from this world at all. That's the question we're all thinking. And the answer to the question is as follows. Alzei nashiv lo, on this we will answer you. Hinach toye, this is a mistake. Shoel yoko, you, dear questioner, right, are making an error. Godl hu oingeinu mi oinga hamaduma shelehem. Greater is our pleasure than the apparent pleasure of the secular world. The secular world seems to be taking pleasure from this world, but our pleasure is much greater than their pleasure. Greater is our pleasure, the pleasure we take from this world, the pleasure we who keep the Torah. Our pleasure from this world is a greater pleasure than the seeming pleasure of the secular world that they take from this world. We're able to enjoy this world much more than they can enjoy this world. Hey, medamim lisaneg. They seem to be taking pleasure. Avaloi kachu, it's not true. Chayeim einem chayim, their lives are no lives. Their lives are no lives. I give an analogy, a person, who's about to be put to death. So they give him a last meal. Whatever you want, you can order. So, you can order the most expensive meal from the most expensive restaurant. Whatever you want, we'll give you. Whatever, right? But I mean, how much pleasure can a person have from that meal, right? This last meal. How much of it can he eat even? That's this huge platter of food. How much of it can he eat? How much pleasure can he have when he realizes the gallows are waiting for him in 10 minutes' time? So therefore, their lives are no lives. They're never satisfied. That's what we said before. Because if the pleasure of the chocolate is just eating the chocolate, and 10 seconds later it's gone, so it's over. So now you need another piece of chocolate because it's gone. They're never satisfied. Their pleasures of this world are just while they maybe while they're eating it for a few seconds, but then it's gone. It's, and how long do pleasures last, right? The most fantastic fun ride. How long does it last? 2 minutes, 3 minutes, right? One of these at the amusement parks. So what is the whole thing takes? 4 minutes, 5 minutes. Right? So they don't. There's no satisfaction because it's over. Then they've got nothing again. Not even a person buys himself a luxury car, a week later it's already, it's not so much, he doesn't get so much pleasure from it, it's not a, he doesn't enjoy it anymore.
So they have no satisfaction from their pleasures. They're not filled with pleasure. They're not sated with pleasure. They only pursue. They're running after pleasure, but it's a superficial pleasure, an illusionary pleasure that they pursue. Akzei roim, they see the ends of it. They get a sense of it. They sense there's tremendous pleasure here. They sense it. Roitvim achrav lo yisigu loim, but they never reach it. It's like running after something that you can never catch. They run after pleasure that they never reach because they're never satisfied. They get a taste of it, but it's gone. It lasts a second and it's gone. So where is it? Masha'en kein, which is not the case, chelkeinu, which is not the case in our share, chelkeinu midushne oinig, those who enjoy true pleasure, eternal pleasure. Oinig oisha miti, a true happiness. Oilam hazeh, in this world, is true happiness for those who serve Hashem in this world. Umikol shekein lo oilam haboh, and all the more so for the world to come. Anusveim tomid b'chol hamatonus yanchileinu Hashem yizborach b'reiv chasadov. We are sated with all of the gifts that Hashem inherits to us, that He bestows on us in His great kindness. K'maim ramzal, as our sages teach, b'chol mido mido shu moided l'cho, every measure that He gives you, whatever it is that He gives you, have a moided lo, you should be grateful, you should express your thanks. You see, we know how to express thanks, and we take pleasure in giving thanks. We don't just eat the meal, we say benching, and in the benching itself we, so to speak, almost like regurgitate the whole meal because we're thanking Hashem for we're holding the meal in our minds, we're thanking Hashem, we're attaching ourselves, we're elevating that entire meal that we just had, we're thanking Him for the gifts He gave. We have so much to thank. And a person thanks Hashem every morning, the fact that he can see, the fact that he can stand up, the fact that he can get out of bed, the fact that he can take a few steps, and the fact that he has clothing to wear. So we have so much to thank on all of the greatness. All the goodness that Hashem gives to us constantly without interruption. So therefore, since the pleasures we're taking, we're turning it into spirituality, we're turning it into our connection to Hashem. Imagine a young man gives to a young woman a piece of jewelry. It's not just a piece of jewelry, it's not just a chunk of gold. Right? It's a connection between them. This is their relationship, a physical manifestation of their relationship, of their love, of their connection, of their tie to each other. So that's it. When we receive from Hashem, the pleasures we receive from Hashem, a person takes even the smallest pleasure and he uses it to thank Hashem and to connect to Hashem, so that pleasure becomes his for eternity. He now has that pleasure, so to speak, he freezes it. He freezes it, that little piece of chocolate, he freezes it for eternity. Because that becomes his connection to Hashem. It's a gift from Hashem to him. Hashem has given him a gift, and he is reciprocated with a thanks, and there's a connection, there's a tie between the two, which is an eternal tie. It lives forever. It's a pleasure, that it's an ongoing pleasure. V'zeu b'yuma shenema b'krishma, and this is what we mean in Krishma. We say, achalta v'savata. You'll eat, and you'll be satisfied. And the people who eat, but they're not satisfied. It says about the Rishoyim beten techso, they're lacking, their stomachs are lacking. It says about the wicked. The wicked, right? The wicked people who just live for this world, their stomachs are lacking. Means that whatever they eat, they're always hungry. It's just because it didn't satisfy them. Some say, right, they're lacking a stomach. They're saying, oh, if only I had another stomach to keep eating, because my pleasure was eating, and now I'm not eating. Halavai Hashem should give me another stomach. Yeah. Right, in the old days of the Roman orgies, they used to eat a banquet, and then they used to go into the vomitarium. And in the vomitarium, they used to bring up the whole meal and start again, yeah, because that was their pleasure. But we say, achalta uva savot, you'll eat, and you'll be satisfied. Inyan sviya zehi hamu'ula sheva brochas. And this idea of being satisfied is the highest of blessings. The highest of blessings is the ability to be satisfied. You eat a little bit and you're satisfied. In fact, that's what it means. When there's a blessing in the food. Blessing in the food means, you, even though you eat just a little bit, you feel satisfied from it. Ki ein lecha adam sheyizba b'inyan ha'ilum hazeh. Because there is no person who can be satisfied in matters of this world. This world is ultimately disappointing. You can't be satisfied just in this world for the sake of this world. It just can't satisfy. It's just, it leaves you hungry. You eat and it leaves you hungry. What now? Now what, right? Imagine a group of spoiled brats. They're going from one
pleasure to
from one pleasure to another pleasure to another pleasure, and then they say, and what now? Now we're bored. Now we have nothing to do. So there's a story actually about just such a group of brats who, you know, they ran out of pleasurable activities to do. So they said, well, what should we do now? They said, oh, let's go burn down the neighbor's house. That's a good idea. That sounds like a thrilling activity. Let's go burn down the neighbor's house. There's no person who can take pleasure in the matters of this world. For one who pursues the pleasures of this world, he can never reach them as he would like to. Of course he reaches them, but ultimately it disappoints him. So he never reaches them like he'd like to. He's constantly hungry. Whereas the person whose entire goal is a spiritual happiness, he's working towards a spiritual happiness, he's contributing, every thanksgiving is another brick in his palace in the world to come. Every time he says a brocha, that's another brick. And every time he appreciates Hashem, that's another brick. And every mitzvah, it's an accumulation of wealth in the world to come, spiritual wealth. And all of the means of this world are only means. They're only the resources to help him reach the world to come. Which is the person who's in truth, his whole heart and his whole desire is the service of Hashem. The person who takes it to heart that this is really all that's worthwhile in this world. This person will be sated with the gifts of Hashem. This is what we're saying. We say it in the Shema. You will eat and you will be satisfied. You will be satisfied. They can't be satisfied. But you will be satisfied in this world. And you will be happy even in this world. You will be happy.